Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Looking at today's market performance for today, we start off with the JSE All Share Index, which, geesh, truth be told, hasn't really moved much. Only up in positive territory by about a tenth of a percent. That's over 101 points firmer at 84,526 points. We do see resources up by 1.5%. Metals and mining also up by 2.5%. International markets, as mentioned, rather mixed. That's on the back of the fact that what the Ukraine did is that they received recent arms from the United States of America. Joe Biden, who is still the president of the United States, gave them the thumbs up to say, hey, you can use our ammunition. Ukraine did exactly that into Russia. And Putin responded to say, I have another move up my sleeve, and signed a new declaration that essentially lowers the targets, or I guess specifics that are required for Russia to respond with nuclear to any threats from external forces. So this brings about a whole new complexity to just how it is that Russia will likely retaliate to the conflict that it has with the Ukraine. So for the moment, that is impacting the U.S. equity space. The Dow Jones as well as the S&P all in negative territory so far. NASDAQ seeing some level of optimism, but bear in mind the bias with the NASDAQ is that the technology stocks, those, the Magnificent Seven, are listed there. So we are seeing that positive activity come through on that front. Locally, which company stocks are actually moving further up and down? If we take a look at the major moves on our screen, we do see Pick n Pay is up by more than 4% today. Harmony Gold, the Fashini Group, Goldfields, and even Telkom also performing a lot stronger. All those share prices up respectively between 2 and 4%. On the losing end, though, another retailer, Woolies, 2.5% weaker. ShopRite also 1.5% weaker there. And interesting, it's in and amongst the mixed bag of the likes of Sasol, pulling back by 3% so far today, and property companies like PH Prop, Fortress, High Prop, all pulling back as well by just over 1.5%. Let's talk currencies, because that's where we'll continue to see ongoing gyrations taking place. For the moment, 18.03 is where we're trading to the US dollar, 22.86 to the British pound, and 19.10 against the euro. Interesting times ahead. The gold price, though, still seemingly looking steady, $2,625 per fine ounce. So will be interesting to see how that continues to move, especially on the back of the geopolitical conflicts that we do see. Think the Middle East, think Russia, Ukraine. Those might not impact us directly as a country, but you just might be surprised what the ripple effects might be on our pension funds and our investments in the months to come. Someone who knows about this and so much more is a fantastic equity analyst, and someone who takes a look at deep diving into the technicalities of the investment thesis and outcomes of companies. And that is Ntsika Ntsokolo. He is an equity analyst at Sasfin Wealth, joining us in studio today. Good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening, Gugu. Thank you so much for having me in today.
So lovely to speak to you. And I guess it's another day on the markets where there's just so much going on.
Yes, ma'am. I think the truth is we're seeing Pick n Pay rally really hard on anticipation of the Boxer IPO that we see going to come through next week.
Yes.
Lots of excitement around that, specifically in and around the fact that we've had so few IPOs on the JSE that there's a lot of excitement about getting a new name. And certainly with how Boxer's positioned with its footfall and addressing the lower LSM customers, really one of our favorites for the day. And to your point, gold and safe haven buying completely through the roof today. You know, all the gold miners up a proper, you know, well above 2% on the global geopolitical volatility.
Let's talk about that. Russia, Ukraine, the US involved now. Oh, and concerns about that. Putin not holding back, essentially saying, oh, if you want to fight, I'm armed and ready, essentially.
Yes, ma'am. I think as a market view, we think it was slightly irresponsible, perhaps, for Biden to do what he did. I think allowing for foreign use of you know, military-grade weapons as strong as these would do nothing but invoke the anger of Vladimir. And we're seeing that, obviously, in the nuclear policy response, namely around the fact that I think originally the thinking was that they were not allowed to attack countries that didn't directly attack them.
Yes.
But they've changed the policy now to say that if you get your arms or your weaponry from a first-world country and attack them, they view that as just as much as a right to use nuclear escalation, which is, you know, worlds away from where we were a day ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how this does unfold, because it is impacting the markets. It does speak to the political dynamics. And with Trump coming in January, I guess ongoing shifts will happen there. So what happens in the meantime? Do we just sit tight, watch this battle that's likely taking place, and deal with the consequences?
Well, I think we put away our water reserves and toilet papers and prepare for the worst.
That's if you're lucky enough to have a bunker. Oh, boy. And maybe let's just reflect on the markets, especially post the U.S. elections. The Magnificent Seven stocks have just continued to rally. If you look at Tesla, the likes of NVIDIA as well, I'm seeing indications here that those particular stocks turned positive today. How are you looking at it, especially when it comes to your clients who, I guess, you know, interacting with portfolio managers and the team? Is everyone still saying, you know what, just allocate more capital to these technology stocks?
It's a very tough one. I think to try allocate capital to any security at all-time highs, your risk has to be to the downside. And when you're looking at the NASDAQ or the performance of anything from NVIDIA to Microsoft to Amazon, you've done 188% in NVIDIA if you were working with us at SaaSfin this year. So you've done phenomenally for your clients.
Say that again.
188% year-to-date performance out of NVIDIA. It's created generational wealth. I mean, and so the question is, when does the party stop? Does the party stop? And to sell these securities, you're going to, you know, trigger quite a lot of CGT and tax and the like. So it's quite a sober decision that we're looking at when we're making these decisions for clients. But S&P 500, Dow Industrial, all hitting, you know, all-time highs on the back of the Trump win. And surprisingly, the dollar strengthening on top of it too. Everyone keeps, you know, speaking about an inflationary environment that Donald will bring, but the market is looking right through that and continuing to bid up the U.S.
Right, yeah. He's literally the Trump card that no one saw coming towards the end of this year with some consequences for the market going forward. I'm keen to also get your thoughts on the JSE All Share Index, because in as much as we are seeing a heightened level of activity on the U.S. equities front, our Aussie hasn't been doing too badly at all.
Not at all, ma'am. I think month to date, we're up about 2.1%, which is a welcome relief considering how we close October. I mean, down 1%, 1.8%. And year to date, the JSE is up about 11.4%. So well and truly beating inflation, well and truly returning, you know, value to shareholders and clients. But I think the real question is, when do the numbers start to come out? We're very happy to see the unemployment numbers drop for the first time, I think, in 15 years. The recent print, which was, again, really positive for the SA Inc. story. But we're waiting for these companies to truly represent the good feelings that we're having with regards to GNU to actually produce in the numbers and the results to come.
Is it all GNU, or is it, I guess, the resilience of SA Inc. companies?
Oh, our egos will tell us it's SA Inc. companies.
I know. I often get accused of always representing capitalism, and to a large extent I do, so you're quite right. Let's talk about local companies and the ones that recently published results. We Buy Cars, and I fundamentally am so intrigued by this particular entity, because ask many South Africans about We Buy Cars, they've either interacted with the company.
Yes, ma'am.
Or are aware of it, have seen the billboards, or even some of the vicinities where they actually sell their vehicles. But they have some very interesting insights and nuances around the consumer buying trends in South Africa. But beyond that, their financial performance also seems to be fairly solid, or on an upward trajectory.
Oh, no, definitely. I think We Buy Cars is one of the big sleepers of the market this year. I think in the past 3 months, it's up 50%. It's been an absolutely phenomenal pick for anyone who got it. And I think the trick around it was the transactional capital debacle. People felt really jarred and scarred by the management teams coming out of that. So I think that's the only reason people didn't jump on the IPO in the manner that they should have. And the results that they printed lately were extremely positive. I mean, revenue was up 16%, core headline earnings was up 23%, and I think all-in headline earnings per share was up 9% and a bit, and super, super positive numbers. There's a lot of funnies in those numbers with regards to the unbundling and delisting out of TCP.
Those once-off costs.
Yes, ma'am. So it did print a negative number in absolute terms, but operationally, we think it's an absolutely phenomenal business. And, you know, when we look at the South African market with regards to credit and availability to being able to buy new cars, it's just not there. BMW and Mercedes are falling out the top 10, car sales in the country, and the number ones are things like Jetour, Haval, because of the value proposition, 7-year leases. So there's a big questions, I think, in around new car sales in general and whether or not they're going to hold up. And the value proposition on secondhand cars is absolutely phenomenal. You buy a 2020 or 2018 vehicle, high German spec, spec, you go in, you're fighting, you're looking straight through the depreciation and you're getting a very solid asset. So we're very bullish, the second-hand car market, and we think We Buy Cars is still very much a buy.
Oh, still a buy?
Still a buy. We think, look, the valuations at this point are very lofty and it looks full, but I think the prospects of where the growth is going to come through is quite phenomenal. We're still very confident on that.
Got you. I'm also keen. Gosh, now you've taken me down that path. My brain cells are tickled now, Ntsika, because I want to talk about them. In a few weeks, it will be, you know, the festive season. Many South Africans might be celebrating Christmas. And there's often this, you know, quote around, you know, what's in your Christmas stocking in terms of stocks? Have we gotten there just yet?
I think we're all praying for a Santa rally. Mm-hmm. I think it's just very difficult to justify in a market, especially in the US, it's giving you 22%. I mean, how much more can we get out the US market? Locally, you can argue that there's a bit more to come out, and, you know, we're really hoping for positive numbers coming here for the last, you know, a little bit of the reporting season, but I think everything looks very full. Mm. Certainly the names that we like, OUTsurance, We Buy Cars, Naspers, these are all names that have really rallied and made a lot of value for the clients, and we think are slightly too rich to buy, but performing too well to sell as well.
You haven't mentioned any of the banks, retailers, telcos.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, telcos. telcos is a different headache for us. We're actually very much fundamentally short the industry, and this is mainly around the fact that we all want cheaper airtime, and we all, you know, fees must fall, but at the exact same time, demand a premium service and for these companies to run. And so as long as they can't control their revenue line, or very little control with regards to tariffs and their revenue, we don't think they have the right drivers to be able to organically control their businesses. Mm. So we're short telcos fundamentally. But banks, we are all the way in on banks. Standard Bank, Capitec, those are some of our biggest holdings in the portfolio. Uh-huh. And if tax cuts and rates continue to drop and the economy begins to benefit, they'll be first in port to actually benefit from that.
100%. I'm going to squeeze in mining companies there and commodity players.
Pain. in one way, would,
so, right, know. Especially on the back of the fact that we did see that commodity price boom post the pandemic, especially when it comes to coal, but that subsided significantly, right? And if you couple that with the infrastructure challenges that many of the mines have been plagued by locally, we constantly see that in the most recent results from many of them. Transnet Freight Rail, the ports becoming an issue, and of course just the restructuring that's also happening at certain organizations. So,
lots of own goals. I think South Africans are very good at scoring some own goals, specifically around the rail situation should have been privatized a long time ago, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of efficiencies going to be found through private operators and being able to pull the best efficiencies out of that system. And then there's the general governance and securitization of our assets and ensuring that we're actually as productive as we can be. It doesn't help to have world-class assets, world-class workers, a great tax system, and an efficient finance system when you can't get the stuff on the boat and to your clients as and when they need it. So a lot to be done there, but certainly I'm sure government is looking at it very closely.
100%. Makes sense. Ntsika, I'm keen to get your thoughts. Obviously, we're, you know, moving towards the end of the year. As you mentioned, we are anticipating a Santa rally. The currency does seem fairly stable at the moment. Let me double check. We were oscillating between high 17s and 18s. 1804, okay. Yeah. A few weeks ago, it was, you know,
1830.
Yeah, 1830. Yeah. So we are performing a lot better. What risk factors do we need to be mindful of in the short to medium term?
I think the war between Ukraine and Russia is still going to continue to plague the rest of the world, whether it's from the energy prices to everyone has seemingly picked a side, whether, you know, in the Russians or, you know, with the developed world. And so I think a lot of that political and geopolitical volatility is still in the system. I think risk is to the upside with the $71 barrel. I think the biggest concerns are just how the rest of the world continue to develop. It seems South Africa has found its feet in terms of consistency and a way forward. It's just about our execution now. And we're famous for having great plans and turnaround ideas and failing to execute. So we're all going to be looking closely to our government just purely to execute at a high level at this stage.
Exactly. I'm tapping into the fact that you're a rugby fan here and we need that Springbok magic. Right? We definitely do need it. And so we'll leave it there for today, but truly appreciate your time this evening. Evening, sir, and I guess the optimism and excitement we have around the markets, it's definitely something that we're going to drive towards the end of the year.
Oh, thank you, Google, and thank you for your team. You guys are always so wonderful to me.
Thank you. Well, you're wonderful to us, so really appreciate the feedback. That is our guest this evening, equity analyst at Sasfin Wealth, Ntsika Ntsokolo, helping us unpack the market performance and, of course, get some insight into key themes that are very pertinent at a global level, but more so how they will impact us as South African investors with exposure to the JSE. And Bear bear in mind, South Africa might be a very small economy, but we are open to the impacts across the rest of the globe. So we do need to be mindful of that.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.